The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
A new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, welcome back to the Believe You Me podcast. Lewis, how you doing, buddy? Lots going on. Lots going on. Finally, praise the Lord. Praise the gods. We have MMA content to discuss. Obviously, we got talk of private islands. We got talk of fights. We got talk of anything but the coronavirus. Fortunately, Anthony Smith has given us some content to discuss. We got home invasions. We got number one contenders. We got lots of shit happening in the UFC world, which we can discuss and sink our teeth into, which we're going to get into. But first of all, Lewis, what's going on in your life, buddy?
It does feel like it's been a very long time since we've been able to have any real news. It's been a lot of like, is this going to happen? Could this happen? We don't know. It's been a bunch of bad news. Any news that we've gotten, really, it's been like, this is canceled, this is canceled, this is canceled. There's been no actual solidified positive MMA news. And finally, we get a little bit, and I'm excited to talk about all of these stories today. My life is really boring. I'm trying to avoid
Getting fat.
Getting fat, but also being depressed. But they sort of go hand in hand, right? So I was thinking about this earlier today. Like, if I'm working out, I feel so much better. I mentally, physically, and everything is just firing on all cylinders. And I know this. There's not even a debate. I know myself. I'm not saying for everybody, but for me personally, if I go for a run, I lift some weights, do some crunches, I'm eating healthy, everything else seems to fall in place. And I know this is data from years of being me. I know this. And if I'm not working out, and I start to be very depressed, I start to feel very like lazy, my apartment gets messier, I'm a little less clean, I'm not worrying about my hygiene, I'm not shaving as much. These are all problems. And it is a conscious decision. When you really think about it, I've been deciding for 3 weeks to be depressed. I've been deciding to not go run or exercise or do anything. And it is a conscious decision because there's a moment where I can just say, dude, just fucking go for a 30-minute run or get up and do some crunches, do a yoga video. And I haven't been doing it. And in turn, I feel like I've been deciding to be depressed.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with what you're saying. In your defense a little bit, before I speak about myself, in your defense, Lewis, the world is essentially on lockdown, right? So you can't go to a gym. I guess you could go for a run. I guess you could get outside more, even though there is limitations on that now. But you could go for a run, I guess. But still, I feel like you're being a little hard on yourself because if anything, a lot of people that work out regularly right now, if anything, you could argue that now's the time to enjoy a little break, enjoy a little rest. But of course, studies tell you, and as you say, your own personal data, my own personal data tells me if I work out, I feel better. I've got more energy. Like, for example, I had surgery last week and I had surgery not too long ago before that. So right now I can't work out. So I'm just like, you know what? Well, now's the time. Now's the time to overindulge. I had pizza for dinner last night. I had a few beers. You know, it's like, well, fuck it. I can't work out. I can hardly walk, let alone work out. But if I do work out, if I do start being healthy, it has a knock-on effect to the rest of my day. So I said to Rebecca last night, I said, listen, I can't work out, but I can start working on my range of motion and things like that. So she's actually at the doctors right now with Callum. He's going to have surgery tomorrow. Same thing as I had, a bucket handle meniscus tear, funnily enough. But when she comes back and we've done this show, we're going to go in the garage, we're going to do a yoga session, we're going to do some stretching, we're going to do some abs, and then that will set me up for the rest of the day. That's not a massive workout. We're just going to go online and find like a yoga thing we can do together, because my range of motion is terrible. Years of fighting, I struggle putting on a suit jacket and things like that. And I spoke about this before, that I'm going to work on it, but now my knees, but once I recover from the surgery, my knees should be good for a while. So now I've got no excuse. So now I'm going to start working on the range of motion, all that type of stuff. And if I do that, if I do something, then as I said, for the rest of the day, I'll eat healthy. Tonight, instead of saying, fuck it, let's get a Thai takeaway, which is gorgeous, by the way. I do love a good Thai
food.
Oh, it's the best. Or a pizza like we did last night. We'll be like, oh, let's keep it nice and healthy. Let's get some fruits and vegetables in our system. So today, and I know I've said this before, and say it with me, Lewis. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. I'm telling you, no more booze, no more Stella, no more shitty food. It's just, I'm just going to be preaching at people. Oh, God, it does look good. That looks good. What are you doing? I'm here trying to change my life. When you're with the bong as well. What else you got? Keep it going.
I got a lot of things going on.
What else is off camera? We got crack cocaine.
We got some whatever this is. I've been drinking. Whoa,
bro.
You're drinking some rubbing alcohol.
You're going to get us kicked off YouTube with this shit. What is this, bath salts?
Yeah, I got, look, you know what you said? You were like, oh, I'm, you know, you shouldn't be hurting yourself. Can I be honest with you? Let's do a little believe you mean motivation. Conceive, believe, achieve, motherfucker. You should be hard on yourself. I don't know. Everyone right now is stopping moving. Everyone is in this limbo period in their lives, right? And in my opinion, this could be an opportunity. There's an Albert Einstein quote. Please look this up, Brian McKay, because I forget what it is. It's something about there being...
Whoa. You don't need to run it by Brian. I am an expert. I am very learned on the subject of Albert Einstein. So you know
the Albert Einstein quote I'm talking about?
Which one? There's so many Einstein quotes.
Name two.
Oh, Jesus Christ. E equals MC squared. Okay.
Name another guy.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
I don't think that's
No. Something to do with gravity, right? Brian, he invented gravity. No, he discovered gravity, correct?
I think that was Newton.
Oh, of course, so many leading men, philosophers, men of science inside my mind. I find it hard to differentiate from the two. Of course, that was Sir Isaac Newton. Hold on, let me just bestow some knowledge on you. Oh, here's one of my particular favorites from Einstein. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I mean, that's one of my personal favorites.
I actually enjoy that quote. And this is why I say all the time to both Brian and you, I was like, we don't expect anything of Harrington. It's we're crazy for expecting him to do anything different except for show up late, not have things ready.
Yes, you could say that in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity.
That's the one I'm fucking talking about.
That's how I live my life.
Oh, my God.
The most important thing is to not to stop.
No, go back to the quote that I'm talking about.
Curiosity has its own reason for existing, my God, Albert.
The point is that we should be hard on ourselves. And within, you know, there's some shitty stuff going on right now.
Yeah.
There's massive opportunity. There are people right now are lying down and fucking expecting the world to sort of,
yes,
you know, what?
Well, listen, at the end of the day, Lewis, two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, okay? And I'm not sure about the universe, you know what I mean? Listen, I can go on all day. Don't test me on my knowledge of the great Albert Einstein. Okay. So what got us onto that anyway? I totally forgot. I was just saying it.
You're just not even paying attention at all. You just wanted to read Albert Einstein quotes.
Listen, not reading. It's straight off the dome.
Oh, sorry.
Straight off the top. What were we talking about though?
I was making the point that, we should be hard on ourselves and we should, as people are, you know, depressed and, you know, saying, woe is me. And, you know, rightfully so. There's a, you know, I cannot be doing that. I can be taking advantage of the fact that I be one of the only people that are having a positive attitude and trying to make shit happen. Cause I think everyone else is sort of putting their lives on pause. So that's the point I was making. And I was saying that within whatever lies opportunity.
It's a great point. I'm glad you made it. Everybody listening is like, whoo, you know what I mean? Say what you want about Lewis, but he makes a great point every now and again. And that to me was a solid 10 out of 10 point. Round of applause, everybody. Round of applause for Lewis, ladies and gentlemen.
Great.
Okay. What should we get into? Hey, so we were supposed to have Anthony Smith on the show today. Unfortunately, he couldn't. But the reason we were going to have Anthony Smith on, if you saw Ariel Helwani's show yesterday, you probably heard about this, but he had a home intruder, Lewis. I believe it was Sunday night. His wife woke him up and said, there's somebody in the house screaming, and he could hear screaming. And then he went downstairs and there was some guy there, presumably on some kind of hardcore drug. And they got into a fight. He defended his family and he beat the fucking living daylights out of him. Harrington, do you have an exact quote that we can read from Anthony Smith? As I say, he was going to be on the show today, but he said he's got every local news truck outside of his house right now, so he wants to reschedule and come on another time. But Harrington, do we have a quote?
Well, the story I have from Anthony Smith is he heard a noise. Someone was in his home, in his computer room, in his garage, screaming their head off. He told his wife and three daughters to get into a bedroom, lock themselves in there. He went downstairs to deal with it. He found a man. He expected him to have a knife or a gun. Instead, it was just a crazed person who kept running at him. Smith said he was hitting him with knees, elbows, punches, kicks, and the guy just kept coming. Couldn't have been more than 170 pounds, but he held his own for a couple of minutes against a UFC fighter.
No, he said he held his own the whole time, to the point where Smith went and got a kitchen knife and held it up to the guy, and the guy still kept coming. 205-pound Anthony Smith, who has fought for the UFC title, couldn't take this guy out, who's 170-pounder, not a professional fighter, and Anthony Smith had a knife.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug. That's exactly what it is. This guy was out of his mind, I guarantee, on some kind of very, very strong drug.
It was John Jones.
And fair play to Anthony Smith for admitting that he was terrified, because it is terrifying. If you recall, I think I've told this story before. It's in my award-winning best-selling book, Quitters Never Win, which you can get hold of right now by going to diversionbooks.com. But never mind that. But in there, remember, I think we spoke about this when a guy came to my house in the middle of the night with a petrol canister, gasoline canister, and a lump hammer and stuff, and tried to burn me down. You shit your pants. Right. So regardless of whether or not you're Anthony Smith, who is a fucking badass, who's one of the best fighters in the world, that's knocked out guys like Rashad Evans, Shogun, went the distance with John Jones. He's a bad motherfucker. In that circumstance, when somebody comes to your house in the middle of the night and you've got children in there, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, that is absolutely terrifying. Well done to Anthony Smith for not going too far. You know what I mean? Because by rights, if he had that knife against his neck, I mean, you hear about it sometimes. In America, I believe the law is somebody comes into your house in the middle of the night, you can use lethal force. So well done to Anthony for showing restraint and for being honest about the entire situation.
I think it takes a lot. You know, you have to be a fucking, even if you, you know, if you're a good guy, even if it's a guy that's coming at you, you know, unless he's got a weapon, you have to be a pretty cold-hearted bastard to kill somebody with a knife. You know, if at that point he's unarmed, even if he's just like fighting, you're going like, fuck, dude, I'm not going to murder this guy with a knife. Like, I'd rather just wait till the cops get here. I'm saying he'd be justified. You're 100% right in that he'd be justified.
I'm just saying that given those circumstances, and you don't know, because this guy is just relentlessly coming at you. Anthony's hitting him with everything but the kitchen sink. I don't believe that I'm now actually justifying a way that Anthony could have killed this guy. That is not what I'm doing, but I'm just saying that he did show restraint because he has his family in the house. He has three or four daughters, I think.
Three daughters, yeah.
Which is fucking terrifying.
Which goes to show you how useless daughters are. Holy shit. There was a wife, three daughters. There was four other souls that could have helped out. They all just hid in a room.
They were like, listen, I'm doing my nails right now. Okay, do you mind?
We're playing house.
I'm waiting for my hair to dry. Okay, so like, if you guys want to keep it down back there. No, listen, when you got your daughters and your family in the house and this guy's clearly on drugs and he's out of his mind and he's still coming forward when Anthony Smith is hitting him with everything but the kitchen sink and he's still coming forward, you got to start to worry and start to panic because had that guy have got hold of the knife, you know what I mean? Then there could have been serious consequences.
Well, that was a big part of what Anthony had described. You know, Harrington, he paraphrased, but he did sort of touch on it. You know, he was like, I didn't know if he had a weapon. I didn't know if he had a gun. I don't know if he had a knife. It was actually a really interesting quote. The actual quote is really interesting. He was like, so I'm going into it assuming that he does. Mm. And that's a scary fucking thing. And if you are with yourself, you know, you sort of have look, I think Anthony Smith, no matter what, I think the reaction probably would have been similar to fight. But with yourself, you go like, oh, well, I can run. I can at least, if I think he has a gun, I'll just fucking get out of here, run, hop out, hop the fence, go to the next yard, get the neighbors. But you have your family there. You can't leave your family. It's like you were in a really fucked up situation where you literally have to, I couldn't imagine, you know, what that would be like to have somebody in your house. And I mean, I'm thinking about that now. If somebody gives me a dirty look on the subway and I'm with my son, I start to like go through those motions in my head, like what I would do, how I would have to deal with that. That's a terrifying fucking thing.
And this is what I say to Rebecca all the time, because generally, you know, when the kids were younger, she would get out of bed in the middle of the night and she would like, you know, change the diapers, the nappies.
I thought you were going to say she would check on noises. I was Jesus, Bisping.
She would feed the babies and things like that. She would get up early and make the coffee. It's like, listen, you know, but the flip side of it is somebody comes in the house in the middle of the night, I'm the one that's getting out of bed. I had a few beers last night. I'm hungover. I'm very, very tired. I've got an early day tomorrow. And fuck's sake, I could really do without this inconvenience. No, listen, I mean,
same reason that the Secret Service gets paid the big bucks. It's not because they're getting shot every day for the president, but it's because they have to take that bullet. So that's why Bisping doesn't have to make coffee. All right. He's got to jump in.
You're not joking. I am joking. I do.
She's got to take that bullet then. Fuck that. No. Every other time, Rebecca's got to get out and check on the scary noise in the middle of the night.
Fair enough.
Feminism, baby.
Okay. Listen, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Yeah, listen, like when that guy came to my house, because I have, you know, kind of a similar experience, you do kind of shit your pants. Because I remember, you know, listen, I was young and, you know, you think you're a tough guy and all the rest of it. But when you are presented with somebody in your house, and my guy had a canister of gasoline.
Your guy did have a weapon. Your story was so much worse.
No, well, he didn't. He was trying to burn me alive.
I know.
But in that scenario, I had like a big block of knives, kitchen knives behind me, and I never thought to use it. I just stood there screaming like a little bitch and then called the cops. Now, all right, granted, I did chase him down initially. Well, I did chase him down, eventually got him out of the house. And you can read about it in all its glory and quick as you ever win. Shameless, yeah, for sure. But this is a perfect segue. Diversionbooks.com, get your copy today. But yeah, no, fucking hell, man. Fucking hell. But that poor guy, that he did not do his homework. He had no idea whose house he was breaking into. Apparently, he got in through the garage door. The garage door was unlocked. So that's how we got in. And that kind of goes into my wife's point. Because my wife, you know, like sometimes at night, she'd be like, Michael, did you lock the back door? And I'd be like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. She said, no, Michael, you've got to lock the back door. I'm like, babe, we live in a gated community in the fucking most boring suburb of Anaheim Hills.
So you're the one house that it's like, if there's one house to go into, maybe not the worst house, people that have guns, it may be a little bit worse. But honestly, they just fucking shoot you. I mean, if somebody came into your house right now, I would think that you might beat them close to death. I mean, and that's not being that's not being anything. Like, I'm just saying, you have your family there. You have multiple kids. Like, you're a trained fighter. Anthony Smith couldn't get the job done, which, by the way, I thought was pretty funny. Saw John Jones was like, it's fucking crazy.
What was this?
John Jones tweeted out. He goes, let's see. I want to actually read the actual quote. He goes, glad Anthony is okay. No way dude would have left my house walking. Which he just took the moment to be like, John just is essentially saying he would have done better against the home intruder.
We never spoke about John Jones's punishment, did we? So we'll get into that in a bit. But yeah, listen, John, he's having a bit of fun there. But you think he'd be laying his head low? You know what I mean? He was in the news recently. Don't be taking this opportunity to take shots at Anthony Smith. But listen, main thing is Anthony Smith and his family are safe, and that's fantastic. And well done to Anthony. The guy's a fucking hero. I'm sure his wife and kids will forever remember this and remember him saving the day and coming to the rescue. So well done, Anthony. I'm just glad that his family's safe. As I say, he was supposed to join us today, but he's got every local news truck outside his house. So he's a little busy right now. Not to mention, I think he's got a fight coming up against Glover Teixeira soon. Which will take place on the UFC's Fantasy Island. Should we segue into news?
Do you think Glover heard the story and is feeling a little more confident about his chances? He's like, Anthony couldn't stop this 170-pound crack addict.
Yeah, 170 pounds. How do we know it was 170 pounds?
That's what Anthony said. You got to give Anthony some credit because he could have been like, this motherfucker was huge. He had weapons and muscles. He was like, this guy was tiny. Nothing would put him down.
But this guy hadn't cut weight. So essentially, we're talking about a lightweight. We're talking about a 155er. Had this guy been competing, I mean, Anthony couldn't even finish a lightweight. I mean, Jesus Christ, no wonder Glover's confident. No wonder John Jones is talking shit. And Anthony, we're busting balls. We're having a laugh, by the way. Hopefully get you on the show soon to talk about all of this.
Mike, real quick, let's take a moment and thank Ridge Wallet, which is an incredible sponsor for this show. I love my Ridge Wallet. I got it right here. I pull out my Ridge Wallet. Every time when I was going out and paying for things, I used to look like I'm a businessman from the future. That's the way that I feel every time I pull it out. Look at it. Look how cool it is.
Lewis, can you have a bit of respect, a little bit of like feeling for people? Nobody's going out right now. Why are you going to rub it in our face talking about when you were going out, talking about using your wallet for transactions? Nobody's making transactions right now, okay? And if they were, granted, the Ridge Wallet would be the way to go about it. The Ridge Wallet would be the way to impress these imaginary people. But right now, nobody's leaving the house, Lewis. Shame on you.
It seems like a counterproductive way to promote this Ridge Wallet.
It really is. Okay. So here's the deal. When this all passes and you want to go out, because believe you me, it's going to be soon. This is going to pass pretty soon. Hopefully another month or so and we'll be back to normal. You want to be out there and you want to be setting your own curve. You want to be ahead of the curve. You want to be creating your own curve and people will look and go, wow, look at this man. Never mind coronavirus. This guy's fucking a serious individual with this jazzy, streamlined, contemporary wallet.
And if you have those normal, your normal wallet, which is a big, bulky, leather, hunky piece of shit. You know, they say flatten the curve, not flatten your wallet in your back pocket, right? This right here, it's a front pocket wallet. That was good. It's a front pocket wallet, okay? It's a minimalist concept, right? So you just have what you need. I have my business cards. I have my credit card in here. I have my ID in here. Has a little money clip right here. That's it. I don't have gum wrappers. I don't have receipts. I don't have extra things that I would normally just shove into my wallet. This is, in my opinion, step one to keeping your life in order.
Yeah, it's an original front pocket wallet that's designed to streamline what you carry every day. It also has 30,000 five-star reviews and is a better way to carry your cash and cards. Plus, there's a lifetime warranty if you love it, and it has free returns if you don't. So, come on, what more do you want? If you love it, it's literally got a lifetime warranty. And if you don't like it, just return it for free.
Send it back. You got to just feel cool for a day and then send it back. Who cares?
Give it a try. I mean, we don't recommend that for the sake of Ridge Wallet, but you could technically do that. And it also comes in titanium, carbon fiber, aluminium, aluminum, and over a dozen different styles and colors. So if you want to give it a try, go to ridge.com/BYM. That's Ridge, RIDGE.com/BYM, and use the code BYM.
Save 10% off your whole order. Buy a few of them. Make it a birthday gift. Make it a Christmas gift. Whatever it is. Early Christmas shopping now, baby boy. We might not have this promo come this Christmas, right?
Get ahead of the curve. Get ahead of the trend. I mean, you're talking about flattening the curve. That wallet, it's impossible to flatten it anymore. Okay, and if you want to keep your wallet the opposite of flat, you want to keep it full, go to ridge.com/BYM. You get 10% off. ridge.com/BYM. Use the code BYM and 10% off. You're welcome. All right, guys, where were we? As we say, yesterday was a big day in terms of mixed martial arts news. We all know we've been waiting and waiting and waiting to see if Khabib versus Ferguson was going to, you know, become a reality. Of course, Dana was very gung-ho about it. He's like, no, we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen.
Did he really say we'll make it happen, or did he say we'll make UFC 249 happen? Because I don't think that if you look at the wording that Dana was using, I don't think Dana White ever said we're making Khabib versus Tony on April 18th. I think he was using the words we're making UFC 249 happen, and he is. So he's
okay.
Right.
Okay, Mr. Technicality, what are you trying to win a fucking lawsuit here? Listen, regardless, in the people's perspective, they likened UFC 249. It is synonymous with Khabib versus Ferguson. Okay, is it fair to say that, Your Honor?
Granted, fair. Okay. Carry on. Okay. Carry on, okay. Counsel.
Yeah, so anyway, so that fight is obviously out the window. Khabib can't leave Russia. So what do? They've got Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. But we'll get to that in a minute. Should we talk about the Fantasy Island? Or not the Fantasy Island, should I say. The actual island.
UFC because Island.
The thing is, everybody's saying, well, where are these fights going to take place? And a lot of people are reaching out to me and they're asking me questions. I'm like, I have no idea. I've been texting the UFC as well and they still don't know. This was a few days ago. This wasn't Dana White. This was some of the production people. They're like, nope, it's all still under wraps. Now we hear that he's got an island somewhere, which, by the way, this is fucking awesome. You know, and Farrow, love him or hate him, whatever your stance on the coronavirus is, whether or not you think the fight should be going ahead, this is a pretty fucking awesome solution to this problem. So
did he buy the island? Did somebody say that? Somebody said that to me, that he bought the island. Am I crazy?
Well, if he did, it's a solid investment. You know what I mean? Because property always goes up, and God knows he's got the money to do it. But if he has access to an island that they're going to, he said that apparently the infrastructure is being built right now. So some kind of temporary arena, much like they do in Dubai, perhaps. Maybe there's a building already there, or Abu Dhabi. Remember, they build those quick arenas, don't they, in Abu Dhabi, just for the event alone. So maybe they're doing something like that. The octagon, the lights, all that stuff is being rigged. They said all the fighters are going to get flown by private jet. They're all going to meet somewhere.
This is in the US, though. This is off California.
Yeah, this is off the coast of California. And my spidey senses, or my circle of trust, is telling me Northern California, Northern, somewhere. But so they're going to, all the fighters are going to meet. Then they're going to fly in a private jet to the island. They're all going to get tested individually before they get on the island. All the staff, all the medical professionals, all the referees, people like that are going to be tested. And then I'm assuming, and I don't know this, again, I'm assuming that all the staff are going to stay on the island, right? Because they don't want them going back and forth. So all the UFC staff, all the, you know, the transport people, all the people that make the UFC, you know, the traveling roadshow that it is, all the people, they're going to stay there, and then the fighters are going to come and go. But they're going to get tested. So from a health and safety standpoint, I think they've covered all of that. And I pretty much feel that would shut up all critics. What do you think?
It will not shut up all critics. Definitely will not shut up all critics. I think it's, you know, I feel, I think it's like, yeah, if all parties involved, you know, do everything that's responsible and they feel comfortable doing it, I feel like there's no reason to not make this happen. And I think it's great. I love Dana White goes down in history as the greatest promoter ever. Maybe it doesn't happen, I don't know. If he fucking bought an island to make UFC 249 happen, that is like, fuck you, dude. I'm making this happen no matter what, to the point where he got an island. That is psychotic.
No.
That is crazy. It's a new level of passion.
It's gangster as fuck.
Yes.
It's like, okay, hold on a minute. You're shutting me down. Commissions are saying no, right? Fucking everyone's saying you cannot do it. The governments, the athletic commissions, everyone's saying no. Okay, fuck it. I'm going to buy a fucking island. I'm going to fly my fighters there by a private jet. We're going to test you all one by one before you get on there. So there's zero fucking risk of catching the coronavirus. This island is self-contained. There was no coronavirus on there. Nobody's going to fly onto the island with the virus. Therefore, nobody can catch it. We're going to do the fights. We're going to please the fans. We're going to make our money. The fighters get paid. Everyone gets paid. Fuck you, motherfuckers. Yeehaw. Yippee-ki-yay.
And then we have an infrastructure to now put on UFC fights as often as possible. And they're planning them April 25th, May, whatever. There's another one. So we are now the only professional, high level professional sport that the American public is used to that is going to be happening regularly, that you can watch live. If Dana White can pull this off, this can actually make the UFC bigger than ever. And we were talking about that before, right? The Einstein quote about the opportunity being in all, you know, whatever. This is a massive opportunity. Dana White and the UFC could come out on the other side of this a bigger entity. It's the only live sporting event that you can fucking watch right now.
And the beauty for them is that they just need an octagon. Shut up, Harry. Dogs are barking. Shut up.
He loves it. He's excited. Leave him alone.
No, yeah, I know. He's like, yes, UFC 249 is happening on an island. No. So obviously all the other sports, you need a basketball court or you need a baseball field or you need a football pitch. You know what I'm saying? So that's very hard.
You need 20 guys on the field.
You just need fucking an octagon. That's it. And that's the beauty of it. So listen, in terms of problem solving, and as you said, you know, and I'm not sucking his dick here, right? Because a lot of people accuse me of that. I'm just saying,
this is the time you can. Well, this is the one time you could suck his dick, because this is crazy what he's pulling off.
Well, Dana's always been a good friend to me, and I respect people that treat me well. Shut the fuck up! Fuck me! Fuck me! Jesus, that fucking little shitty dog. Fucking give that fucker coronavirus. He does not shut the fuck up. Alfie, when he barks, at least it's masculine. It's loud. It's dark. It's got bass. But like, meh, meh. And it echoes throughout the entire house. I'm sorry, listeners and audio listeners. But anyway, No, listen, Dana's a great guy, right? And he's a fucking problem solver. I mean, look at what he did with John Jones. A lot of people felt that that was preferential treatment or whatever. But without getting into that, he solved that issue. He changed the fucking location from Las Vegas to California, right? At the drop of a hat, right? In a few days. I mean, that was genius problem solving right there. And then now look at this. I mean, you know, you got to take your hat off to this guy. Whether or not you support his desire to still promote fights throughout this, whether or not, right, you agree with that, you still have to admire what he's done here. You still have to admire the staying power, the perseverance, the problem-solving ability of Dana White and the UFC. All the people involved, they've done a tremendous job here. They really have. And as I say, if they are going to test everybody going onto the island and they have access to the testing kits, then honestly, I don't think there's an issue unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, I don't think there's an issue either, in my opinion. But people will still say that it's irresponsible and that you don't know if you're carrying and when, you know, who knows and this, that, the other. People are assholes. So they'll find something wrong with it for some reason. And that's fine. And I'm sure they're prepared for it. He doesn't give a shit because this is a really baller move. And to be honest with you, I think that the reward is, I mean, leaps and bounds beyond worth the risk. Okay. These are adults. We're all adults. If I decide that me and you decide we want to go fucking to the park right now and, you know, go for a fucking run, me and you as adults can decide like we're putting ourselves at risk. And if we're being responsible about it and we're doing everything that's necessary to not put other people at risk, I don't think there's any issue with that. The positivity of there being sports and entertainment for people to sort of like have them escape from all of this, there is real tangible value there. And to, you know, the amount of people that watch the UFC or watch mixed martial arts and are inspired to do great things, that are inspired to, I mean, I've watched it. You don't have to go that far. You just do a fucking, watch a Google video, watch the little kids that are dying of diseases and they meet the fighters and the way they light up. And this means a lot to a lot of people, you know, and I think that there's a lot of value to it and the positivity that this brings to people is really great. Now, obviously it's a business thing for Dana White and the UFC and the fighters and everybody. Everyone wants to make money and thrive, but there's a lot of other, I don't know, man. I think there's something really incredible. And also just Dana White showing people that there's a fucking path to doing something that is seemingly impossible. When people say something's impossible, it's like, it drives me out of my fucking mind.
Conceive, believe, achieve. There it is. I mean, you embodied that so well with that little speech there. I mean, if that was a press conference, people would be on their feet. I mean, what was that?
You know, it's true, though.
No more bong hits, okay? You had your eyes closed. You were away. You were off with the fairies. Like, it's beautiful, man. And people just need picking up and inspiration in this time. You are right. You are correct. No, it's great. Listen, you know, it will provide some kind of normality, I guess, for some people, certainly while they're stuck at home, you know, because people are running out of things to watch. Certainly there's no live sports, television production and things like that have ground to a halt. So yeah, listen, absolutely fantastic. I'm very, very excited. I just hope I get to go to the island, which I think I will, because I have some commentary. I have some commentary gigs coming up. Okay. So I'm going to the fucking island. I think I'm going to stay there. You know, sorry, babe. Sorry.
UFC Island is a better place. We should all live on UFC Island.
I'm fucking moving to UFC Island.
UFC Island, every man has his own like lounge chair. Everyone has their own like little French maid.
Think of the luxury I could live on at UFC Island. Former champ, Hall of Famer, most fights in the UFC, only British champion and commentator. You know what I mean? I get a pretty cushy suite there. You know what I mean?
You might be able to be
UFC Island. I have a decent mansion on UFC Island. I would suggest.
You at least have some property. Like you're like a serf on UFC Island. Like Dana White's obviously king of UFC Island. Let's get real. Okay.
Okay. Who's the queen?
You. You get to be queen of UFC Island.
Okay. Relax. Jesus Christ, baby boy. No. All right. So Dana White's king. Well, who are you then? If I'm the queen, who the fuck are you?
I just want a ticket to go. If I could just visit UFC Island, just how cool would that be? Just to fucking...
You're not part of the UFC, bro. I'm sorry. You just can't come. It's not an open invitation.
I can hold a boom microphone.
That's great. So hopefully we're going to have... Well, we are. We are going to have UFC 249 next week, which is crazy. So we're going to save...
And there's a whole card, correct?
Yes, there's a whole card. If you just... Let me get a conscious thought out for a second, baby boy. Yes, there's a whole card. And I was just about to say, we're going to get into all those fights.
Were you about to say something?
Yes, I was. We'll get into all that next week because obviously we need the content. We need things to break down. And there's a stacked fight card. There really is some fantastic fights. Remember, there was Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Francis Ngannou. That was supposed to be the main event in Columbus, Ohio. That's going to be on the card. It's a stacked card. It really is. But we'll focus on right now the big news, which was announced yesterday, which is Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. I think I speak on behalf of everybody that we're all disappointed that the Khabib fight isn't going to happen, right? You know, that's been booked 5 times now and it fell out. It's going to be really curious to see if they made that fight again. We're saying that if Tony wins and becomes the interim champion, they have no choice but to make that fight again. So it will be booked a 6th time, which is just bananas. It's absolutely insane. But Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson, what are your thoughts, Lewis? In fact, when we'll go around the wheel, we'll ask Brian and Harrington. Keep it quick, keep it short. But Lewis, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm disappointed. We've talked about it a lot over the past few weeks. It's definitely out of nowhere. All right, look, first initial reaction, disappointed. I really want to see Tony fight Khabib. And we can talk about the prospect of that in a minute, and we'll get everyone else's opinions on this as well. I don't think that we are ever going to see this fight. I don't think that the MMA gods are willing to let this fight happen for whatever reason. Yet, once again, we are not seeing this fight. My initial reaction was like, fuck, I'm disappointed. I don't think that Tony should have even taken that fight. I think Tony should have just held out for a few months. I think there's a way to do that. But then I started thinking about what a fucking crazy fight that is. Like, what an absolute barn burner of a fight that is. And then I start to go, holy shit, we are, you know, what is it, 8 days away, 9 days away from getting to watch maybe one of the best fights they could possibly put together on paper.
It is still a fantastic fight. I'll give my thoughts in a moment. Mike Harrington, wow, the listeners with your take on this. What do you think? What is your hot take on this fight?
I'm slightly disappointed for another reason. I put it in the notes. Justin Gaethje is a guy who usually takes 8 to 12 weeks to get prepared for a fight. He goes into his training camps, gets absolutely more than prepared for war. Fighting Tony Ferguson, the biggest fight of his life on 12 days notice, I just don't know if we're going to get the best Justin Gaethje for UFC 249.
Well, see, that's, you know, number one, Justin Gaethje deserves a round of applause and some respect for taking the fight, right? That is a ballsy move, you know, but it can pay off. If you look at Justin Gaethje, the way that he fights, just lately, I mean, well, in fact, not just lately, I shouldn't say that. I think every one of his fights he has won by knockout, right, which is just crazy. And his last 3 fights were just disgusting knockouts. The one against Donald Cerrone, then we had James Vick, I think it was, and then Edson Barboza. Right, I was watching those yesterday because I recorded some stuff for the UFC. And I was watching those fights. And, oh, the way he knocked out Edson Barboza, the way he knocked out James Vick, they literally just collapsed flat on their face. And to your point, Harrington, of course, everybody wants a full training camp. Everybody wants 8 to 12 weeks. 12 is too long, by the way. 8's the perfect number. Even 6. But anyway, everybody wants a full training camp. He's only going to get 2 weeks or even less than 2 weeks. But he has been training, kind of. If you believe what he says, he was always kind of on standby. But, of course, you don't train properly. When you're on standby, you're going to the gym. You know, you're doing what's necessary, but you're not pushing it like you actually have a fight. But the point I'm making is that that will make him double down on that knockout style because he's not going to have the ability to go 5 rounds. All right, maybe he has the ability, but he's not going to have his usual ability. Or he won't be as well cardiovascularly conditioned as Tony Ferguson to go 5 rounds. He will slow down before Tony, and that's just a fact. So that makes him look for that knockout even more. Just, and I hate to bring myself into this, when I fought Luke Rockhold on 2 weeks' notice, I was like, fuck, I got to knock this guy out because I'm not going to have the conditioning to go 5 rounds. And we all saw what happened. So once again, first of all, congrats, Justin Gaethje. Congrats to Tony Ferguson for being a gangster and accepting that fight. And to your point before, Lewis, yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see the Tony Ferguson versus Khabib fight because if Justin wins this fight, then we're never going to see that fight because it's going to be Justin versus Khabib, right? Yeah. And let me tell you, I think this is a harder fight for Tony. I'm not going to give him a prediction yet, but this is a harder fight for Tony than Khabib because Khabib, what he does, he takes people down. He doesn't have that one-punch knockout power. He doesn't have the ability to separate somebody from consciousness with one punch. Justin Gaethje has that. He has done that time after time after time. He can turn off the lights in an instant. Khabib can't. Khabib takes you down.
Last three in a row specifically were knockouts and first round knockouts early. Excuse me. And also there's something about the lack of pressure. We were doing a show when you got that Luke Rockhold fight and the confidence that it was another, I knew you were winning that fight. And it was because of the level of confidence that you had, not when you're on microphone, but off. It was just like, there was something about it. And it was, maybe it's because you just felt like you didn't really have much to lose. Tony has to be, no matter what he says, he's got to be in his head. He's also not had the best training camp. No matter what way we want to slice it, you're not getting every training partner. There's not anywhere near the availability. It's a crazy fucking world out there right now. The amount of psychological shit that this must be putting him through to now have this fight rebooked, now have a new opponent on 12 days notice, and people saying the same things you're saying about Justin Gaethje, that might really fuck with his head. Justin Gaethje, all confidence, nothing to lose. Let's go, baby.
Well, the point I was going to make is that Khabib takes people down and he mauls them. And then, you know, towards the end, when they're tired, when they're beat up from the ground and pound, maybe he'll get a submission or maybe he'll get a stoppage due to ground and pound. Or, you know, he wins by decision, but he always wins. And that's generally how he does it, right? Justin Gaethje, as I say, he can probably stop. Justin Gaethje is a phenomenal wrestler. We just don't see him use it. So yeah. If Tony was looking to go to the ground, because let's remember, if Khabib took Tony down, Tony is a black belt at 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu. And for the people that have never done Jiu-Jitsu, right, the people that have the 10th Planet, the Eddie Bravo style, they are experts off their back. They are experts with their guard. And they tie you up and they get you in such difficult, compromising positions. I used to hate it. Like, I've got, you know, equivalent to BJJ black belt skills, and I could roll with anybody and always be fine. Anytime I went with a 10th Planet guy, it's like, fuck me. It's exhausting because it's such an unusual style and they tie you up in such a way that it's very unorthodox and very unconventional. That's what Tony does. So we would have, you know, matched up well with Khabib on the ground in that scenario. Justin Gaethje is very different. It probably won't go to the floor. Tony tries to take it to the floor, then he probably won't be successful. And then combine that with the fact that Gaethje has knockout fucking power in every shot. He has some of the best leg kicks in the lightweight division. He uses his leg kicks with such precision and he just beats his opponents up. As I say, this could be a tougher fight stylistically, especially given, you know, the mix-up at such short notice, you know, because no doubt Tony has been working relentlessly on his guard, working relentlessly on reclaiming guard position, working on his sweeps, working on submissions off his back. Now, all that time and effort working on that, those skills, that's out the window. Yep. Because this isn't going to go to the floor. So all of that is kind of wasted time.
And that perceived striking advantage that Tony would have had over Khabib is, he does, I believe he still does have a striking advantage over Gaethje, but it's nowhere near as much of a gap. You know, I think that Gaethje got really great knockout power and really great boxing, whereas Khabib, you know, he didn't really show those same types of skills. He used his boxing to kind of take it to get in and take it down. So I think that, you know, Tony, it's going to be a tougher fight. I still think, look, here's the thing. If I'm, you know, we could do our picks or whatever. I don't even know. Can you pick? You're not calling this fight, so you could actually do picks on this one.
No, we can do that, but we'll save that for next week as we get closer to the fight. You know what I mean? We'll save the anticipation because I know people are sitting on the edge of the seats waiting for specifically your pick.
Of course. That's, I know.
We know.
Don't you fucking condescend me, Michael Bisping.
I am not condescending, bro. I need your picks to put some money on this, okay? We know you have the best analytical mind in the whole of MMA.
You're like, I need your picks to make my picks look that much better.
Exactly. I'll just do the opposite of what you say. Sorry, you were saying.
But no. So, I think if I have to just pick with like my heart, I'm not giving my pick, but I'm just saying, I think the way this world is going to, the way it's going to work, if I had to guess, God does not like Tony Ferguson. I say God exists. God, Tony Ferguson is straight from hell. He's been sent from hell, and God has sent Justin Gaethje as a representative for all that is good and heaven and Christianity to come and stop the devil that is Tony Ferguson. And Tony Ferguson is going to lose this fight. Not only that, I'm going to go further with my prediction. Justin Gaethje is not even going to fight Khabib because Khabib's not going to be ready to fight. And the fight we've been talking about for months now, these guys have been really looking at each other, staring at each other through cages for a long time. Conor McGregor will be ready to fight. And I think you're going to have Conor McGregor come in, fight Justin Gaethje for for that interim title. And then you're going to see Khabib versus Conor later on this summer for the biggest MMA fight of all time.
Are you saying that Justin Gaethje is the Archangel St. Michael, who is coming down to earth to slay the dragon? Are you really comparing Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson to the Archangel St. Michael, who I'm named after, by the way, and the dragon who represented the devil in humanity? Wow. Wow. That's actually powerful.
I love that image. And if you guys want some free Sanibel gloves, please put Justin Gaethje's face on Michael the Archangel on, and then put Tony Ferguson's face on the devil, the demon. Send it to us. We'll share it on Instagram.
With me and Lewis commentating in the background.
Beautiful. That's actually going to probably be the cover of today's episode.
Yeah. No, we want that. We want that. That sounds bad. That sounds badass. I want to put that on my Instagram. But just going back to UFC 249, I'm sure anybody that's been following the news knows the card. But Ferguson Gaethje main event, Jessica Andrade, Rose Namajunas. We got that rematch. That's a sensational fight.
That's happening next week.
That's the co-main event.
Well, that's supposed to always be the co-main event.
Maybe not. I'm not sure.
Sorry, everything's confused. I have no idea. That's so fucking crazy. This fight card is bananas.
Yeah, well, remember that first fight with fucking Rose Namajunas and Andrade? That was bananas because Rose was just piecing her up. Rose looked like one of the best strikers I'd ever seen in the UFC until she got picked up and slammed on her head. We've also got Greg Hardy taking on Jurgen De Castro, Vicente Luque taking on Nico Price. That's a fire. We've got Jeremy Stephens, Kelvin Kattar. That's fucking awesome. Francis Ngannou, Jairzinho Rozenstruik, Jacare taking on Uriah Hall, Alexander Hernandez, Omar Morales, Marlon Chito Vera taking on Ray Borg. I've reached out to Marlon Vera. He's a buddy of mine. Hopefully we get him on this week. Michael Johnson there.
Look, the world sucks right now, but if you're an MMA fan, this is the silver lining right now. Listen. This is the silver lining. This is a card. You're talking about six main events on one card.
That is an insane fight card. I mean, Rozenstruik, Strike, and Ngannou. That was supposed to be main event at UFC Columbus. Now it's the prelim headliner. Listen, we're all disappointed that Khabib isn't going to be on the card. That's the fight we wanted to see. But come on. Jesus Christ, UFC on a private island with a stacked card from head to toe. It's not a bad replacement.
Why would Tony take this fight? What is the upside of this for Tony besides being paid now versus later? And second part, would you have taken the fight if you were Tony? Would you have taken the
It's simple as this. It's as simple as this. And this is the reason you asked this question. I'm not trying to be condescending or insulting when I say this, but the mentality of a fighter is a very, very different thing. Tony, right, he's on a 12-fight win streak. He's beaten some of the best fighters in the world. He's been itching and clawing for a fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov for years. He believes he's the real uncrowned champ. He won the interim belt and he was stripped of that once before. He believes he is the best fighter on the planet, right? And he's had an entire training camp. So he's like, I don't give a fuck who the opponent is. Line them up, I will knock them down. Just like I used to always say. He's like, yeah, all right, Khabib's out. Justin Gaethje, bring him up. Bring him on. Sign him up. I will take this guy out and then I'll fight Khabib down the line. I'll become the interim champion once again. I'll get paid. I'll put all that hard work and sacrifice that I've done. I put that into use and effect. I get paid. You know, of course he wants to get paid, but the real reason is that he believes that Justin Gaethje will just be another victim. That would just be another long line. Unlucky number 13 for Justin Gaethje. Ooh, is he going to be unlucky 13 for Tony Ferguson, though? Holy shit, never thought of that, you know?
One of them have got to be wrong. They both have that exact attitude, right? They're both praying to the same Jesus in the sky. One of them's got to be wrong that day. But there are fighters that don't have that attitude. We've seen it. We've seen fighters pick and choose, and we've seen fighters, you know, definitely.
Not real fighters. Not real fighters. Real fighters will say, okay, fuck it. Throw down. Let's go. I've done my training camp. I'm ready. I'm in shape. Right? Some people do. Some people do. They get analytical. They pick and choose. They look at the circumstances. They then try and screw the UFC for more money. They say, if I'm going to take this chance, if I'm going to take this risk, then you have to compensate me more for it, which, you know, whatever, wherever you stand on that. But then some people will use that as an excuse to back out of the fight, which, okay, you could argue is the smart thing to do. It is the correct thing to do. You got to think back to John Jones versus, who was it? Was it Dan Henderson? He refused to take the fight.
Chael.
Chael. Chael's on him. He refused to take the fight. I took Chael in a week's notice. But anyway, but there you go. You could argue that that is strategic. That is being professional, which in one sense it is. But it also goes against the very grain that makes you a fighter, that makes you a badass, that makes you the type of person that's willing to step in there on a week's notice, 2 weeks' notice, change of opponent, regardless of the circumstance. It speaks to the fact that I believe I'm the best in the world, and regardless of the fucking opponent, set it up because I'm going to fight.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's why you have a manager or an agent to sort of step in and go like, hey, yeah, fuck face, no. But all right, fine. Even that's that question. Do you think it's a smart business decision for Tony Ferguson? So if you're Tony's agent, do you – because I, in my mind, I can't wrap my head around why Tony wouldn't have – and I'm assuming the back end, the deal is like, hey, this is going to be the first pay-per-view we've had in a really, really long time. You're going to make a lot of money here, period. No, and in his mind, he's like, yeah, I'm fucking the baddest man on the planet. Whether I'm the champion or I'm the number one contender or the interim champion, I should be able to beat everybody. And I love it. As a fan, that's what I want to hear from these guys. But from the business side, it seems like if I'm on Tony's team, I'm like, dude, you know what? Just fucking wait 2 months and you could fight Khabib later on down the line. And I think that that would – no matter what way you want to slice it, that is the biggest yield.
You're absolutely right. That's why we have managers, because fighters by nature, we're reckless and we believe in ourselves and we believe we have the ability to win. That's why a lot of the time you need a manager to be between the fighter and the UFC, because, you know, I would deal with Dana. Dana would call me and say, we want to fight this guy. Yeah, fuck it. Let's go. Bring it on. No problem. If you have another manager in between you there, they might go, oh, hold on a minute. Slow your roll. We don't think this is a good fight for you. And I remember if a manager said that to me, I'd have been pissed off with my manager as well. Like, what the fuck, motherfucker? You don't think I can beat this guy? Now, to answer your question, do you think this will pay off? Well, it all depends on the fight, right? If Tony Ferguson gets beat up Justin Gaethje, then of course, I will have sympathy for the guy, because he was a company man. He was a badass. He was true to his character and he stepped up and he saved the event, right? But if he wins, then my God, right? It was a big gamble, but it all paid off. He solidifies himself once again as the interim champion. He has the payday. He saves UFC 249. He still has his fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov. I mean, the upside is so big. Yeah. But it's like that with every time you step foot inside the octagon. Every time you step foot in there, you have to deal with the crowds. You have to deal with the naysayers. You have to deal with the haters. You have to deal with all the people that hated you at high school, right? All the people that you've fallen out with over the years. They're all watching that fight and hoping that you lose. You know what I mean? Right? So there's always a risk. Now, of course, this time it's greater. He might lose. He might lose his belt. He might lose his title shot. And effectively tarnish his legacy. You know, because the legacy right now of Tony Ferguson is that he's the uncrowned champion in many ways. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to Khabib, because he is the champ. But these two have been on a collision course forever, and people right. have their opinions on who would win. But still, it's an interesting situation.
It is a very interesting situation. Also, it's a little bit of an update here. So apparently they're not doing 249 on this private island.
Oh.
That is going to be ready after 249, starting at the next event. This event is going to be held apparently at a secret location that nobody knows, not even the fighters know at this point, because they're worried about people calling the venue, striking, whatever it is. It's an undisclosed location.
Can I just say that if Harrington is going to forward you notes in the middle of me giving a lengthy diatribe, I'd like to be privy to those notes also, because I guarantee Harrington send you an inbox, an email, a something, a text. Just be honest. Harrington, speak up.
No, nope. Harrington, did you send me anything? Tell the truth.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're a fucking liar. You're fired. You're fired. Of course he did.
You know how much Harrington sends me during the show? Do you have any idea?
I do. I have every idea. I see you lurking back and knocking on the glass and going, send me a note, send me something.
That's not true. Michael Bisping refuses to open up G-Chat. So Michael Bisping would also be able to get notes too. He just literally won't download the app.
I'm off the dome, baby boy. I don't need to be. I'm inside my own world here. When I'm here, it's me, it's the screen, it's me and you. Simple as that.
Mike, real quick, we got to talk about CBD MD, which I'm loving. I'm dealing with so much anxiety right now from being cooped up in my apartment. And I know a lot of people are as well. A lot of people can't deal with just the everyday life of having to worry about where the next paycheck's coming from, what's going on, when they're going back to their normal lives. It's a lot. It's stressful. So I've been using CBD. I've been taking gummies every single morning. It just makes me feel a little bit better. It makes me feel a little bit more, or a little less anxious. It makes me feel a little bit more clear-headed.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we're still only a few weeks into quarantine, and it doesn't look like this is going to end anytime soon, which means it's time to start establishing a routine and trying to live as normally as possible. And a big part of staying sane is controlling what you can by getting active and maintaining your everyday wellness. But if you've been sitting on the couch and watching the news for the last 3 weeks, getting started again can be difficult. But luckily, my friends at CBDMD have a powerful duo of topical products to make exercise more comfortable and help you avoid coming out of quarantine looking like Andy Ruiz Jr., shall we say, or just Mr. Blobby for the English people. CBDMD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or a shareable squeeze tube. Also, they have the CBD Recover, which combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And I'm telling you, both of those products, I use them regularly. The Freeze is just fantastic. So easy to roll out, and you do feel immediate relief that lasts for about an hour or so. So both of those products are just fantastic, Lewis.
Incredible, yeah. I've been giving the CBD Freeze to my aunt who has arthritis for probably about a year now, and it is really making all the difference in her life. There's so many different products. Go on to CBDMD.com and just see what they have to offer and do a little research. Don't just listen to us. We're supposed to make CBD sound great. Just do a Google search. See if you have something that's going on with you, maybe some sort of affliction, physical, mental, psychological. See if CBD might be the answer. I think you'd be surprised how much stuff CBD actually helps out with.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good news is CBDMD.com, they have such a wide variety of ways for you to ingest your CBD. So there is literally something for everybody. And this week, we have an absolutely gigantic discount for you. If you want CBD, you want the best quality on the market, you want the best prices per milligram, which is what CBDMD is going to give you. But as I say, we have a huge offer. If you go to CBDMD.com and use the code BYM, guess what? 25% off.
No.
Yes, 25% off superior CBD oil products from CBDMD.com. Remember, code is BYM. Check that out. 25% off. CBDMD.com. Okay, let's get back into it. I got to take a piss.
All right, guys, real quick, take a moment and go to our iTunes and leave us a 5-star ranking and positive review. We really love the reviews and all the positive feedback that you guys give us. In fact, what we can do is, since we have so many of these incredible sanable gloves and pads to give out, I think we'll pick some random reviewers this month. Random reviewers. We'll pick 5 random reviewers at the end of the month of April, where we'll give them some sanable gloves and some pads, which is a great idea. So go to our iTunes right now, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. Also, go to our YouTube channel, subscribe on our YouTube channel. You guys can get all the latest episodes there. The latest 30 episodes are available. Get the notification when we're going live. Me and Bisping are regularly in the live chat as well. And last but not least, you can get every episode of the podcast that we've ever done on demand at your fingertips, whenever you guys want. Uncensored, ad-free, gasdigitalnetwork.com. We're actually giving away a 30-day free trial while everyone's at home under quarantine. So take advantage of that. Use the promo code BYM30. Get a 30-day free trial to the premium service and get access to this show and all the other incredible Gas Digital shows. All right, Bisping, you're back.
Yeah, no, I am back, Luce. I am back. Sorry, I was away for a second there. Callum just came in. He has a bucket handle tear meniscus, which is a very bad surgery. And they said when they go in there, they might have to actually remove the meniscus altogether, which means he'll get, degenerative arthritis, knee replacements, all that type of stuff in later life.
Jesus Christ.
So he was just telling me then he may have to give up his wrestling career if that's the case. So, yeah. So my apologies for being a minute or two. I was consoling my son. I was hugging him. I was embracing him.
Is he upset?
No, he's okay, because it's only a small percentage that, a small chance of that happening. So fingers crossed.
And he's a fucking tough son of a bitch. I remember with that elbow surgery that he had, he was supposed to be out for however long, and he was like, and it was like half the time he had recovered and just was ready to go.
Yeah, no, for sure. He is a tough son of a bitch, but fingers crossed there. But anyway, back to the show, what we were talking about. So we talked about Ferguson versus Gaethje. We'll give our picks on that next week. Obviously, there's a stacked fight card from top to bottom. What else are we going to go at, Lewis?
Let's see. What else do we have here? So we didn't talk about John Jones's punishment.
All right, Harrington, do you want to break down exactly what the punishment was? We're a little bit late to the party on this one, but if I remember rightly, when I first read the news of what the punishment was, I was like, holy shit, was that it? But then when you look at it closer, it actually was, you know, a punishment, a pain in the ass punishment. It's, you know, it's embarrassing for him. But Harrington, go on, break it down, refresh my memory.
Okay, so Jones has entered a guilty plea. He's going to get a year probation from it. In addition, he must serve 96 hours in community custody program, similar to house arrest, and complete 48 hours of community service.
Everyone's under house arrest right now. That does not fucking count.
That's what I thought when I saw it. They said he's got to do he's on probation for a year, which means nothing, and he's on house arrest. I'm like, what the fuck? But then I saw all the other things. Sorry, Harrington, continue.
He has to pay a $500 fine and take part in a 90-day outpatient treatment program. The video will take place via video conferencing due to the coronavirus pandemic.
I'll tell you this, right? Listen, he got off pretty much scot-free. He did. The $500 fine, that's absolutely laughable. The year probation, okay, well, he's got to keep out of trouble, which for Jones, as we know, isn't that easy. So he's got to be careful there. The rehab thing, all right, yeah, he needs to do that. I just hope he learned his fucking lesson. But I'll tell you, the one thing that sucks is the community service. When I was a kid, I got arrested. When I say when I'm a kid, I was with Rebecca.
32.
Yeah, no, I was 20, I think, and I got arrested and I got community service. And the community service that we had to do was on a Saturday morning. I had to go to a graveyard in Worley and dig graves, right? Worley was a town near to where I lived. And back then, that was in the prime of my partying days. So going to community service on a Saturday morning was never going to happen. And I no-showed. And anyway, so they pull you back to court. What I didn't know at the time, because I was a kid and I was, you know, reckless and didn't really give a shit, every time I was going back to court for not doing community service, they were logging that as another criminal offense. Right? And I remember I almost got sent to prison. I did go to prison eventually for something else, but I almost went to prison several times for not doing my community service. So Jones, if you're listening, which I highly doubt you are, make sure you do your service, because that shit will bite you in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, that does suck. I've had to do community service before in the past. You know, usually, you know, it sucks. I've only been arrested, honestly, for smoking weed ever. And then one time for threatening my roommate. I got arrested for menacing and harassment when I was like 22.
You were menacing her?
It was a him. Dude, what is wrong with you?
Her harassment. It's a joke. It's a play of words.
I got it. Never mind. I thought that's how you saw me. Like, you just assumed I had fucking menaced and harassed the woman.
You got community service for beating up your girlfriend back in the day. Wow.
I did. Yeah, that's it. I say win-win.
Why win-win?
Got to beat up my girlfriend. Then I got a little bit of, got to help the community. Come on.
All right. So continue.
No, it was a guy roommate. We got into an argument, but I've had to do community service before. We had to like sweep and mop the jail cells at the local jail. One other time we had to go to the park and just pick up trash. It just sucks. It's embarrassing, you know? I guess I would rather do that than sit in a cell. I'd rather have something to do.
Well, no, you'd definitely rather do that. But it is when you are doing that, it is time for self-contemplation. You know what I mean? Because it's like, yes, it's the realization that, fuck, here we are, right? Because Jones, me, when I got arrested for whatever it was, or anybody, you go out, you're drinking, you're intoxicated, and you make mistakes, right? And then you get caught and you get arrested, or whatever it is. We've all done dumb shit. Some people haven't, and I applaud you for that. Myself, I did a fair bit of dumb shit when I was a kid. When you get arrested, you're probably intoxicated and all the rest of it. Then you go home the next day. You've got the walk of shame. You walk in the house, your wife, your girlfriend, your parents, whatever it is, you're held accountable, you know, and you live in shame or whatever. Then you go to the court and it all gets dealt with. But then a few weeks later, you find yourself on a Saturday morning, like, you know, picking up litter with a bunch of other people that are in a similar scenario and you think, holy shit. Now, unless you're a piece of shit, unless you're a scumbag, that's when you should do that real soul searching and think, wow, is this what it's come to? I'm now digging graves on a Saturday morning with some fucking like-minded criminals. You know what I mean? And if you don't, then you're only going to end up back there pretty soon.
Well, most people do. If you get arrested once, they say the likelihood of getting arrested again is that much more. And that's why all the stop and frisk laws were so dangerous. It's like you're sort of turning kids into career criminals just by arresting them for the first time for having a little bit of weed on them or hopping a turnstile or whatever. But it's like, it is a time for self-reflection. But you know what's funny? I remember the first few times that I got arrested for smoking weed and I was sitting in a cell. I remember just how much it sucked to have my freedom taken away. And just, you're so bored and you're just watching the clock. You're like, fuck me, when is this going to end? And you don't know. It's not like I had a sentence. I was waiting to see a judge. So it could be 5 hours. It could be 20 hours. That is almost like torture in itself. But I remember after going through a few times, I remember thinking, like, maybe by the fourth time, I was like, yeah, it's really not so bad. And I started breaking down, like, mathematically, like, the amount of weed that I smoke and the amount of times I didn't get caught. And I was like, well, if I really broke it down, I'm only doing, like, 10 seconds for every joint that I've smoked. And if you said you got to sit in a cell for 10 seconds to smoke that joint, I would say gladly every single time. So
it's just like me with the carpool laws, okay? I flaunt those fucking carpool laws. I'm sorry. And until you catch me red-handed, go fuck yourself. And I think to myself, if and when I get the ticket for being in the carpool, right, without a passenger, the amount of time I have saved, the amount of meetings I've got to pennies. On time, it'll work out to almost free. It'll be totally worth it.
A fraction of a penny for the amount of times you've done it. Like, I would pay that gladly.
And, you know, talking of sentences and punishments, is a perfect segue into TJ Dillashaw. TJ Dillashaw.
Wait, did we? Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say, did we finish hearing John's full punishment? We did.
Flawless segue destroyed. Destroyed, sorry. Lewis. You ruined it.
They call me the segue destroyer.
I was going to say, speaking of prison time and sentences, that leads us up to TJ Dillashaw, who, of course, if we remember last January when he got knocked out against Henry Cejudo, failed a test for EPO, which is one of the most blatant catches of performance-enhancing drugs, because there was literally no defense, no argument for it, and he got a 2-year suspension. Fair play, he owned up to it, I guess. And he's suspended, but he was talking this week saying, because I think he's at the halfway mark, or it should be further than that now, but it's 1 year since I think his sentence was handed down. And he was talking, saying that he may be getting a title shot immediately when his suspension is served. Harrington, what have we got on this?
So TJ Dillashaw says that when he was given the sentencing, the 2-year ban, which is now, like you said, a little bit more than halfway over, he was told when he comes back, he'll be given a title fight immediately. He says he's not sure if that is still the case. However, if he's not given a title shot, he does want a top 5 fight because he wants to get right back into the thick of things. He essentially was very contrite about the whole thing.
Interesting. I don't think that's the right move. I mean, listen, far be it from me to, you know, cast aspersions on how the UFC do their business. But TJ getting suspended like that and then coming back and getting an immediate title shot, I'm not sure if that sends the right message. And I don't think he will. I think the UFC will give him a contender first. And if he gets by them, then fair enough.
He got flattened. Let's get real. It's not like he just got caught. He got flattened.
That's a good point. So it's I forgot about that.
You know, you fucking, it's one thing to, I can see if it was a war, you know, and oh my God, TJ Dillashaw, oh, you know, it's a tragedy that he let, you know, the temptation get the best of him to cheat. He didn't believe in himself. You know, you could sort of tell that story, but no, he got fucking flattened and he was cheating. So I was like, yeah. He ain't getting no fucking title shot. Somebody told his manager that, oh, hey, you're getting a title shot, TJ. They blew him off. He ain't getting no title shot after losing and getting caught for a performance enhancing drug.
Well, he shouldn't, and absolutely right, because I forgot about that. You're right. Never mind the fact, as you just said, that he was caught cheating. He got fucking demolished. He was taken out in under a minute. So, yeah, you're right. For all those purposes, reasons, he shouldn't get a title shot. And, you know, Henry Cejudo is doing big things, and he's got some big fights on the horizon. Dominic Cruz is talking about potentially getting a title fight. I think there's Jose Aldo, there's Aljamain Sterling out there. So it's not like there isn't other clear-cut contenders. You know, Aljamain Sterling has been itching for a title fight for a while. Jose Aldo is Jose Aldo, and he may be getting the title fight. But as I say, Dominic Cruz, he did an interview recently, and he's talking about getting a title fight. So there is a lot of people. 135 is thick with talent. Could you imagine Dominic Cruz rematching TJ Dillashaw for the belt after all those years? That'd be interesting to see. It really would. But anyway, TJ, I hope you learned your lesson, you little shit.
Yeah, me too. Let's see. Anything else? Didn't we have one more news story on the docket before we went into fan questions? And by the way, Bisping, you were away when I was plugging the iTunes and network and all that stuff. But I thought a great idea would be is monthly. Let's pick five random reviews on iTunes, whether they're good or bad. And we'll give them a free pair of Sanable gloves and pads. Just go to our iTunes, leave us a ranking and a review, and we will give away. We'll pick five random ones on the show every single month.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Sorry, I just texted with Marlon Chito Vero there. He just sent me a text saying, who is this? Because I got a new number recently. Hopefully, Marlon will join us on the next show because he's fighting at UFC 249. So he'll have a big fight. Hopefully, he'll give us some time and he can tell us, hopefully, then where the location is and things like that. And we'll talk to him about his big fight. Marlon Chito Vero, great guy, by the way, and an incredible fighter. What have we got? Do we have any more news stories before we get into some questions or fan content?
One thing that Harrington did just send me, I thought this was kind of interesting. And this is, you know, as we're in the process of sucking the UFC's dick for bestowing upon us UFC 249. And look, you're the queen of UFC Island. Best friend, you got some duties, okay? But what I will say, this is actually really very nice of the UFC, is all the fighters on the UFC London card are being paid their show money for the card, which that's fucking incredible. That's like so many companies are doing the opposite paid? Right now.
I'm getting paid.
The fighters. Well, you were a fighter.
Yeah, but I was supposed to be part of the production. I just fly booked.
Just
to
send
London.
Dana a thank you. Like, thank you so much. And then he can show a picture of you and your family. Then he can't say no.
Yeah. Well, no, he would do that because Dana. I've got a funny story here. It's hilarious. And I can tell this. I'm not sure if I should tell it, but this is how much of a gangster Dana is in that regard, right? We were, when the UFC was with Fox, and I shouldn't tell this, but it's nothing bad. It's nothing bad. It's actually good. I remember when the UFC was with Fox, right? We were all in Vegas. There was a big fight happening and all the Fox talent, the execs, all the producers, everything. We all went out to a nice dinner. Fox Sports was great like that. Honestly, they rolled out the red carpet for the talent and their staff. Always the nicest restaurants. They always paid the bills, always nice hotels, things like that. Anyway, there's about, I'd say 30 people. And we're at this beautiful steakhouse in Las Vegas. And everyone's ordering cocktails and wine and steaks and appetizers. And, you know, it was one of those like really fancy high-end restaurants in Vegas. They are not cheap, right? So that check, I would say, would have been $10,000, right? $10,000, maybe not that much, but definitely over five, right? And one of the main producers there that was handling the bill that night, when I was talking to Dana at the end of the table, and me and Dana were chatting away, and then they brought the check to this producer who shall remain nameless. And they said, here's the check. And this guy goes, oh, just send it to Mr. White down at the end of the table. And he said it as a joke. Right. And as I was talking to Dana, because we laugh about this still to this day with this guy in question, as he brings him up the check, he says, hey, Mr. White, the gentleman down there says that you're going to pay the check. And Dana, I mean, God bless him. He just looked and he thought, well, essentially they are all working for me, whatever. And he went, all right, fair enough. And just signed the check. And it was a legendary moment because this guy, he's still dining out on it to this day because he was shitting his pants because the waiter pointed at the guy and he buried his head inside the fucking menu. But it worked. Dana paid the fucking check. So, yeah, give it a try. No, it is. Stand
that's
up, dude.
So funny. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and the guy was just like, fuck, what did I just do? Yeah, did I just trick Dana White into losing $8,000?
He was joking. Yes. Send it over to Mr. Dana White over there. And then he actually did it. And then fucking Dana actually paid the check. So fair play, Dana.
Yeah, I wish being that rich is so awesome. I'm trying to remember who the con. I think it was Nick DiPaolo. It actually was. But somebody was on their cell phone. It was like this, like a few years ago. It was still like $1,000 cell phone, like $800, $900 cell phone. Somebody was on their iPhone in the middle of it, and in the middle of a stand-up show. And he's like, "Here, let me see your phone." And then they give it to him, and he just dropped it in their glass of water. And then they're like, well, the audience was like, "What?" And he just took literally ten hundreds out of his wallet, and he threw it on the table. He's like, "Get the fuck out!" And it's just like a baller ass. Like, if you're gonna deal with a heckler, you're gonna deal with somebody rude at your show. I mean, yeah. Granted, if that was you, I think you would have probably murdered him.
Well, I wouldn't have actually made physical contact with him because that's not how I operate. But I would not have accepted the $1,000. I'd be like, listen, yeah, thank you for the $1,000 that you wasted, but I had all my contacts, pictures of my kids. I hadn't updated it recently. And how fucking dare you take my phone and destroy it? How dare you? And Mr. fucking Moneybags, eh?
Look at you. He's he's
see
furious.
See you in court, motherfucker. See you in court. I'll fucking break your fucking legs. No, going back to...
You're getting it. It didn't happen, Bisping. Calm down.
It didn't happen.
Where's my phone?
My phone's here. It works. It's not in water. No. Hey, listen, got to say, gangster move by the UFC there. Well done. I'm happy for everybody on UFC London because I can only imagine. Fortunately, I never had that. I never had to train for a fight and then the event was canceled. And I never had to train for a fight and then at the last minute an opponent got injured. And then you do that training camp for nothing. But I can only imagine going through all that sacrifice, the time away from the family. Listen, I'm telling you, training for a fight is fucking hard. If you do it properly, it's fucking hard. And to do all that and then not get to fight and not get paid, especially for these guys, as I said at the time, you know, guys like Tyron Woodley, people that are well established, listen, it still sucks for them. I'm not saying it doesn't, you know, I'm not saying I don't have any feelings or sympathy for them, but guys that are forging their career at the start, guys that are starting to get in the UFC, they put everything into this and they rely on those paychecks. So the UFC coming through like that, I think is absolutely commendable. And we should highlight more things like this. And again, I know I'm going to sound like a UFC fucking dick sucker, right? And I know a lot of people say, oh, company man, but stuff like this needs to be recognized and logged down and remembered because it's all too popular a narrative to say, oh, the UFC are bad. UFC are bad. A lot of these people wouldn't have a fucking career. I wouldn't have had a career if it wasn't for the UFC. Yeah, okay, maybe I could have done combat sports somewhere else. I could have become a boxer or whatever, but I didn't. I fought in the UFC and I turned my life around because of that. So people call me a UFC company man, whatever. Yeah, I'll fucking take it. I am. I'm very, very proud to be a company man because I still make a good living. I'm still involved with the sport that I love, and I was able to provide a good living and home for my family through the UFC. So fucking call me an asshole all you want. There you go.
Well, it's easy to especially when you do a podcast, right? So it's our job to be provocative and to talk shit, right? So we do it all the time. How many phone calls have you gotten from friends in the industry? They're like, dude, what the fuck are you saying in your podcast? You're like, I'm just fucking around. This happens to me all the time. Like, people get pissed off because they're like, dude, I'm literally just speaking out of my ass. We did it with Anthony Smith earlier on. We started making some jokes to the point where we had to be like, wait, no, we're just kidding. Just so you know, because we do talk a lot of shit. But we get caught up taking shots. If a movie's bad, it's easier to talk shit about a bad movie than it is to talk about all the movies that we just kind of liked. Just, you know, it was a good movie, you know. It was my favorite movie. It's never getting mentioned.
Because it's more fun to bust balls and take shit, right? Yeah. To take shots. It's more fun to sit there and ridicule something and make fun of it and just have a laugh. And yeah, okay, I guess the subtext is kind of mean and kind of douchey or whatever. But still, it's fun. It's more fun than sitting there and saying how great something was. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, guys, I just want to say... it's just amazing.
Well, it's what incredible. We do to each other. It's what we're self-deprecating. If you start telling a story where you're the hero in the story,
yeah,
you better believe I'm going to stop you at one point and call you on your shit.
You have to. You have to. Otherwise, this podcast is just me self-serving myself, sitting here saying how great I am. If you're not on the flip side going, Mike, shut the fuck up. We know what you're like. We guarantee you were drunk and we guarantee you that and the other. I expect that.
Yeah, and that's built into this culture and built into what we do. So we don't often enough highlight when the UFC does something really good. And comparatively speaking, a lot of companies, and not just mom and pop shops, because you feel bad for the mom and pop shops. I feel bad for the people that can't afford to pay their employees, right? But there's other companies that are massive corporations that aren't doing the same thing. I just read a story about Equinox, who I fucking love Equinox. I've been going to that gym for years, and I used to work at that company. But some girl tweeted something. She was an independent contractor who was doing copy work for them, and she was like, yeah, they owe me $8,000 from works, by the way, that happened months ago, and they sent them an email saying we're not paying invoices for the foreseeable future. And she's like, you're a massive multi-million dollar company, and that's really, really shitty. And I compare, when you look at what the UFC did with the UFC London fighter, the UFC London fighters, the work is the camp, so they put in the work. The fight, you've said it a million times, fighters say it all the time, that's the fun part. They go out that night, they're stars that night, they get to kick ass, they get to have all the glory. all the months of hard work leading up to it, being away from your family, the you know, putting your body and mind through that test, that is what you should really, that's what you're being compensated for. And to have to do everything, fuck the fight. The fight's just a quick thing.
Well, I always say it time and time again, it's easy to go out there and fight on the fight night. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's easy, because it's not easy. But on the night of the fight, you walk out there, you've got an arena full of people cheering your name. Hopefully you go out there, you have a great performance, you get the win, you get the glory. You got
Unless
all
it's
your
Australia.
Friends, you get your friends and family around the world cheering for you, right? You're all over social media, you're trending on Twitter, all this type of stuff. You get a big fat paycheck. Afterwards, you go to the post-fight press conference, you're a fucking hero. You go home, everyone's, oh, great, amazing, Mike. You know, and you're the fucking man, right? On a cold, rainy, wet Tuesday fucking morning, there's no crowd cheering you on. When you're running out through the streets in the freezing cold at 7 a.m., there's nobody giving you a round of applause saying, good for you, well done. But that's the time when it really sucks. When you go to the gym.
It's not Rocky too, where like there's the fans that are following you through the streets and pushing you through as the music plays. There's none of that.
When you go to the gym and there's four or five fucking killers waiting to take turns at beating the shit out of you, and you've got to do it day after day after day, and your body's fucking sore and you can't get out of bed, and just walking down the stairs in the morning, it fucking hurts and aches and kills, and you've got to take ibuprofen and you've got to walk a little while just to get some blood flowing and stretch and things like that. That's why you earn your paycheck. Of course, on the night, you fight through a lot of adversity. You might fight through fire. You might be covered in blood and get all the rest of it. But that, to a certain degree, is the fun part. The hard part is the training camp. And once again, well done to the UFC for rewarding all those fighters. Well, not rewarding them. That's not the right word. Compensating them for the work that they put in, because they were all going to show up. They were all going to fight. UFC London's always a tremendous event. So yeah, UFC did the right thing. And yeah, well done.
Good for them. Let's do some questions real quick. You guys can join the conversation by shooting us an email at bympod@gmail.com. bympod@gmail.com. We're taking content questions, videos. Video questions are always our favorite, but we are doing a contest as well. If we're being completely honest about this, all you got to do is tap it in. You send us any content, you're probably going to win some Santa gloves. Really, just, it's got to be so bad. It's got to be so bad that it would be hilarious, and we'd probably show it on the show anyway, and then you'd still win Santa gloves.
Hold on, but you have to mention Santa in your video. That's it. That's the only prerequisite.
It's a
new wrinkle that I'm putting in. Sanibel are going to pay the postage and packaging. They're going to send the gloves. They're going to send the pads. Okay. All you've got to do is send us in some content to bympod@gmail.com. bympod@gmail.com. And in the fucking video submission, mention Sanibel. Is that too much to ask? There you go.
Well, I want to say the winner today did not mention Sanibel. So I need
that's
to
okay.
Point that
this is a new wrinkle.
A new wrinkle.
Going forward. From this day forth, like Albert Einstein said, okay, in the midst of difficulty presents opportunity, okay?
Can I also say, I'm not positive that they didn't mention Sanibel. They very well could have.
They probably did.
I hope they did.
Roll tape. Brian, what we got?
All right, we got a video about a guy killing himself from MMA Slam podcast.
That's fucking horrible. Why would you, what?
Jeez, please.
Wash hands.
Okay, turn it up.
Take shoes off. Wash hands.
I said day 20 quarantine.
A new episode of BYN?
It's got a notification.
Ooh. That's the Michael Bisping podcast.
I might not have to chop them off.
New one. Oh, he saved his life. I get it. We saved his life. Listen to BYN. Put the machete down, buddy.
See, this is the thing.
This
is what people don't realize. I mean, what are the podcasts that are out there saving lives, right? Reducing suicide rates, which, by the way, we shouldn't joke about, but tough shit, we are, okay? We are literally saving lives. We are on the front line. I don't have an N95 mask, okay? And I don't have the coronavirus, but in my own personal way, I am reaching the world, I'm reaching the masses, and I'm doing my bit. I am fighting the good fight, Lewis.
Yeah, I agree. I think we have saved, we have definitely... I mean, I would say we've definitely saved more lives than we've taken.
Why would we have taken lives?
I don't know. I don't know your past. Anyway, I don't know every story. Circle of trust. Listen, sir. Thank you for the content. That was creative. I liked it. We saved his life. He wins some fucking gloves. All right, whatever. He wins gloves.
It was okay. It was. We had to go off on a stupid, weird tangent about this guy and suicide and all the rest of it. Might have been funny. Might have been stupid. Might have been borderline offensive to anybody that knows somebody that's lost a life through suicide. Which we're not making light of, by the way. I'm an ambassador for the Frank Bruno Foundation. We don't do that. Next time, speak. Next time, at least say something, okay? All right, on this occasion, we'll send you a pair of Sanibel gloves and pads. Brian and Harrington, please make a note of all the people so I can forward it to Imran.
New wrinkle. You got to mention Sanibel, and you also have to speak. Wrinkles, they're happening at all times.
Wrinkles. All right, what else we got?
All right, we got a question from Roland.
Ooh. Michael the Count Bisping. This is Roland Wixer from Germany. Did you prefer to fight beautiful or ugly opponents, and why?
That's a good question. I wanted to hate it, but that's a good question.
Luis J. Gomez.
Michael Bisping. So nice to see you.
Is this guy from Germany or what?
This guy's trying to fuck you.
I don't think he is.
He's definitely trying to bang Michael Bisping. He's seducing him slowly but surely.
Oh.
We're getting a little more and more weird. We're getting a little more and more personal, a little more sexual.
Yeah. He's asking about my preference. Do I like ugly dudes? Do I like rough dudes?
Do you like a man with a beard or a clean-shaven man? Asking Roland. For a friend, yeah?
I want to know. Do you like to suck the dick? Shut the fuck up, Roland, okay? I do not objectify my opponent, okay? I will not answer that question, okay? Males, females, I don't know which side of the gender spectrum you lie on, but I will not do that, okay? I respect my opponents, all of them, Roland from the Germany. You too, with a pair of Sanibel gloves.
Great little video. Maybe we'll share it at the end, Brian. Edit it in because you don't have it pulled up now. I don't want to waste any more time. But the video of you and Chael on stage, he shared it on Twitter where he was, he told the story about when you guys faced off for the first time.
Oh, and he said, I smell beautiful.
Yes. That's such a fucking great story.
No, it really is. It really is. Because for those people that don't know it, we fought in Chicago, and I think we did the pre-fight press conference. Oh, no. I think it was actually at the weigh-ins. And, you know, you get your opponent, and you're squaring up, and you're all trying to be tough, and you get face-to-face, and you're pulling a hard face, and you're trying to exude toughness and intimidate your opponent and all the rest of it. And I got right in his face, and he just says, what cologne are you wearing? Because you smell amazing. Or something along those lines. And I'm like, you fucking cocksucker. You cocksucker. You've undermined everything I'm doing. I'm trying to be hard, tough, intimidating. And you just go, what cologne are you wearing? You smell amazing. So
did you laugh in the moment? Did you start laughing?
No, I didn't. Because at that time, I was still like,
you're so worked up in your head.
I'm in the mindset of, I'm going to fuck you up. Okay.
Did you realize what he said in the moment?
No, I did. It took me off guard a little bit. And at the time, I was wearing Abercrombie & Fitch cologne. So I wasn't even going to give him the name because it's not the most prestigious of brands, but still.
Right.
All right. I guess that's it. That's our show. We're going to
build one more piece of content.
Oh.
Actually, I have one more video submission and then that one picture I wanted to show you guys.
Okay, sure. Go ahead. Please, Brian. Please.
All right.
Yeah, here's, Brian, please show it. Yeah.
Here's a video from Keith the Beef.
Kicks. Oh. Hello, Michael. Hello, Lewis. Big fan of the show. Have been for many years. We're 3 weeks into isolation now. The gym's shut. We can't do any more kickboxing training. So we're trying to do a few things here in the garden. The bar was shut, as you can probably see. I'm starting to look like Harrington's dad, which isn't a good look for anybody. I'm just trying to keep the training up here with Anna, the little Spitfire Parsons, future world champion.
Whoa.
As you can see, I'm going to need those pads before she breaks every single bone in my body.
Oh, bless. That's amazing. That's incredible.
That was adorable.
It really was. Number one, nice technique. Good work on the pads there, young lady. What was your name? Anna?
Anna.
Anna, yeah. So keep it up, Anna. All the best. We will send you the Sanibel pads and the gloves. But Keith the Beef, I believe his name was, let me give you some advice. And I am going to, when my knee is better. I'm going to do some pad work videos, okay? Just show people how to use these pads that were given away. I'm going to do some combinations. But one thing I want to point out, Keith the Beef, is a little pet hate of mine. When you're holding pads for somebody, and for example, we saw him simulate a hook and she had to duck under it. You were like 3 feet above her head. Yeah. Okay, it has to go head level. So therefore, she has to duck because all you're doing is she's getting this false sense of security that she's
developing a bad habit.
Developing bad habits. If you're going to throw a jab for someone to slip, throw the jab at the head. Little thing there, Keith the Beef, but nonetheless. Keith,
fucking hit her. We're just saying, hit her. You want her to fight, she's going to have to get hit.
She's going to have to learn the hard way. You know what I mean?
Honestly, Keith, I don't know why we call you Keith the Beef. He looks like a vegan Santa Claus. He looks very sickly. Even if you hit her, Keith, no offense. Even if you hit this little girl, she's not going to feel it. I got to be honest with you.
I think Anna would beat the fuck out of him. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? He's gaunt. He looks like Tom Hanks at the end of Forrest Gump when he goes on the run.
I was going to say in Philadelphia.
He's a mixture of Philadelphia and Forrest Gump when he's running across the world with AIDS.
But also a little bit when he's in a lot of different Tom Hanks characters. When he's on the island, what's it called?
Castaway.
So he's part Castaway, part Forrest Gump.
And he's the black guy on the ship going, I'm the captain now. I'm the captain now.
Yes.
No, he's not black. No, Anna, keep it up, sweetheart. That was amazing. Great work. Keith will send you out the gloves and the pads. And keep an eye out and some food, some good beef. You need some beef. But keep an eye out because I am going to do a pad session on my Instagram, on my Facebook, a little work at home type thing. So keep an eye out for that one, Keith. And in the meantime, that was our show. We'll be back with another one later in the week. Not sure what day. Thursday? Should we say Thursday?
Let's not make any promises. We'll see what happens. But yeah, Thursday is good for me if it's good for you.
Thursday is good for me. Or we could wait till Friday. We'll see. But in the meantime, look after yourselves. Hope you stay safe throughout this quarantine time. And thanks for listening to our show.